Ticket City presents Why You Go to the Game to see Georgia Southern.
The play is known simply as the run. Peterson took a handoff up the middle, broke a tackle at the line of scrimmage, spins away from the next defender he meets, and he shakes off a diving tackler. 30 yards down the field, he meets another defender and literally throws him out of the way with his right arm, grabs him by the shoulder pad, and swipes him off onto the sideline. It was really so surreal because the place is going completely berserk during the run until he throws off that defender. He throws off that defender, the whole place went silent, stone silent, like an intake of breath. It was just so amazing. Nobody had ever seen it before. And then, of course, the place exploded again after they all caught their breath.
Put yourself in the action with Ticket City. Visit SavannahNow.com/sports and click on tickets.
Oh, he will. Adrian Peterson is taking care of things right now.
Down the sideline. If he can get loose, he's gone. Iligwe will score.
The Wesley Fields. Touchdown, Georgia Southern.
All right, Georgia Southern fans, welcome to another episode of Georgia Southern Extra. I am Travis Jadon, the beat writer for Georgia Southern Athletics at the Savannah Morning News and SavannahNow.com. We'll start today's podcast. We're recording on Wednesday of this week. We'll start with some basketball discussion about the Eagles as they approach a really critical stretch in Sun Belt Conference play. But they are coming off back-to-back road wins last week over Troy and South Alabama. They have won four of their last five, and they're really starting to kind of piece it together, I think, at least. And then we'll get to some football stuff, including a look at what I think the three biggest position needs are for Georgia Southern heading into their spring, which will begin on February 13th with their first of 15 practices in the spring. It will conclude with the March 9th spring game at Paulson Stadium that'll be played at 11 a.m. And then they have three scrimmages along the way, the football team does. So we'll get to all that with the football team. Some transfer news coming last week as well. So plenty to get to, and with us only going every 2 weeks now for Georgia Southern Extra, there's a lot to catch up on before we start to head into February. So we'll start with basketball. And like I said, the basketball team at 12-7, 4-2 in the conference is starting to put things together, it seems like. And, you know, with all of the stuff that they've gone through, including injuries, including some pretty remarkably low shooting numbers from three-point land especially, the team has managed to kind of scrap and stay, you know, not just average, but near the top of the Sun Belt. They're tied in second now at 4-2. And the team that they are hosting on Thursday night of this week, UTA, Texas Arlington, is also 4-2. They've won four in a row, so they're tied with Georgia Southern in second place in the league. But I wanted to first kind of start with when I talked to Coach Mark Byington this week, kind of asked him that. I asked him pretty simply if most college basketball coaches, most athletic coaches, I guess, like their teams to be playing their best basketball at the end of the season. So I asked if on that spectrum, Georgia Southern having reached its full potential or, you know, being a complete failure, where is his team right now in terms of where they need to be come March? And what he said was pretty interesting. Let's hear what Byington had to say to that.
Yeah, we're not close to where I think we can be. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's one of those things right now where we're learning to eliminate mental mistakes and some mental errors throughout the game. And, you know, and sometimes we might win a game by one when if we played a little smarter, we could have won a game by 7 or 8 points. Or sometimes we don't win the game, and throughout the game, if we eliminate some mental mistakes, we could have been better and maybe won that game easier. So, yeah, we're growing, and it's not going to be so much physically, it's just going to be mentally. And I think the guys are learning along the way, and we're getting healthier. You know, we're not where we need to be, but we're getting healthier. And the other thing too is we play six of our last eight games on the road. So the good news is we have, you know, more games at home the rest of the way than on the road, and that gives us a chance to not have to battle the fatigue of traveling so much.
So you hear Mark Byington there talking about how he thinks they're nowhere near where they need to be, and it's just a couple of possessions here and there, a few points here and there. And really what he's saying is pretty clearly backed up in the numbers, because Georgia Southern's last three losses, I mean, they've won four or five, But the last three losses that they do have come by 4 points, 3 points, and 2 points. So what you're talking about it is a possession and a half, two possessions, two and a half possessions in an entire basketball game. And that's where Georgia Southern has kind of let their foot off the gas at certain points. Now, it might not be a lot to say that the team knows how good it is and the team knows that it has the ability to come back. Certainly, they've made a living off of coming back this year. They've trailed in a lot of their games at halftime, well over half of their games at halftime. So they're used to coming back, and they're obviously capable of coming back. But Byington seems to think, and I would agree, that they still have plenty to put together, including the ability to string together 15, 20, 25, 30 possessions in a row, offense and defense, and you know, score, which they are scoring. They're one of the highest-ranked teams in the country scoring. But to be able to put together stops when you need them most is, I think, where this team can improve next. And I don't have any doubts that they will do that at some point. I want to kind of run off some key stats from the Georgia Southern basketball team. Like I said, they're one of the best scoring teams in the country. They're number one in the Sun Belt, number 11 in NCAA basketball, which ranks 353 teams. They're scoring 85.4 a game. You know, but they're also one of the worst defensive teams in the country, ranked number 312, allowing 78 points per game. So, you know, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that Georgia Southern makes its hay off of scoring the basketball and obviously only occasionally getting stops. So, you know, I think that the field goal percentage of Georgia Southern, which is over 50% right now, that's top 10 in the country at number 8, number 1 in the Sun Belt, is in really due to the fact that they are shooting such a high percentage inside the three-point line. And so it's no secret that that's where Georgia Southern wants to score and they want to get out and run. And that leads to the next stat, which is something that is pretty important to me, I think. And I know for a fact that it's important to Coach Mark Byington. Possessions per 40 minutes. So it's a metric that basically accounts for who you're playing and the pace that they play. And it averages that with the pace that you play in any given game over 40 minutes. So possessions per 40 minutes, Georgia Southern is number 6 in the country at 75.5 possessions a game. Now, without getting too nerdy, I think that this is important because you just heard Coach Byington say that it's that, you know, a possession here and a possession there could have made this Georgia Southern season a lot different already, and it could still impact the season going forward, because when you're losing, you know, your last three games by a combined 9 points, that's 3 points a game, you don't have a lot of margin for error. And so upping these possessions to 75.5 from last year, where they were, you know, middle of the pack pace-wise, it's a clear philosophy change for Byington and the Georgia Southern program. And the numbers bear out that that's what they value and that's what they find important, because they're getting 75.5 possessions per game, whereas someone like UTA and Texas State, who Georgia Southern will play this week, they're down in the 230s in terms of ranks per possessions per game, with about 66, 67. So that's 8, 9, 10 more possessions a game. That's enough possessions to know that it isn't just happenstance. That's a philosophy change, and it's been pretty evident. Finally, the three-point percentage for Georgia Southern is beginning to improve, and that's in large part due to Tukey Brown's three-point percentage beginning to improve. But they're shooting 32.3% from three-point land now. That's 11th in the Sun Belt and 272nd overall. So, producer Zach, are you caught up on all the stats now? You got everything?
I know the one stat that I can say definitively is that you said the word possession more times in that last 5 minutes than I think has ever been said in the history of the word possession.
Well, I actually made a bet, now that you called me out on it, I made a bet that I couldn't say the word possession 10 times.
Are we doing prop bets for the podcast? I didn't know that.
No comment. I'm not going to comment on prop bets that Greg and I have for saying the word possession.
Woof.
If the Georgia Southern numbers do stay the same, there's two things that at least impressed me. Georgia Southern's points per game, 85.4, would be the highest in the Sun Belt Conference since 1993, when Lamar averaged 88.3. Their field goal percentage of just over 50% would be the highest since 1989, when South Alabama shot 52% from the field. So, those are obviously historic numbers when you're talking about over 20 years since it's been done. So we'll look to see if Georgia Southern basketball can continue to put up the scoring numbers and get stops, only occasionally. But, you know, one thing that I want to do, and that I honestly try to do in every sport, to try to find trends, specifically trends for a team, what happens when they win and what happens a lot of the times when they lose. And if you look at it that way, from that vantage point, you'll start to see that one of the biggest factors in Georgia Southern winning and losing games this year has been the ability to have or not have a third scorer behind Tukey Brown and Quan Jackson. Now, Ike Smith being out for now, I think it's over 10 games at this point, has certainly changed the roles for everybody. Ike Smith would have been the clear number two, probably, and you know, if not, then definitely the number three behind Jackson. But with Ike Smith, he is back from workouts, but with him being out, it's been Tukey Brown and Quan Jackson for the large majority of the season. But when Georgia Southern does have a third scorer, whether it be David Lee Jones, whether it be Isaiah Crawley, Simeon Carter, some of those guys have managed to step up in games where you didn't necessarily know who it was going to be to step up. But of late, it has been senior Monte Glenn, big man Monte Glenn, who has been really, really, really good of late. He scored 10-plus in four straight games, averaging 10 a game and 7.5 rebounds per game. He's shooting almost 65% from the field, so that's pretty remarkable numbers. So, you know, when you go through and look at the Georgia Southern wins this year versus the Georgia Southern losses, a lot of the times in the Georgia Southern losses, it's Monte Glenn, not playing from injury or not playing a large role in the game and not being that third scorer. So with Monte Glenn's rise ascent to the third position on the scoring column for Georgia Southern, they've won 4 or 5. And I think it's no secret that, or it's no coincidence that Monte Glenn has scored 10-plus in four straight games. So that's something that I've been looking at since Glenn's been returning from injury, playing time with Simeon Carter, and Glenn's managed to put up pretty solid numbers across the board. Let's update you guys on Tukey Brown, just as far as what he is approaching milestones-wise and kind of what he's done. It looks like, and I'm pretty confident in saying this, it looks like the all-time Georgia Southern school record for scoring Division One and non-Division One is a little out of reach. Tukey Brown has 2,043 career points, so that would mean he needs 499 for the all-time school record. And with 12 regular season games remaining, so that's, you get 12 minimum, 13 probably with the conference tournament at the very least, you're looking at over, 35, 40 points per game for Tukey Brown to reach that record. So that's probably not going to happen, but it is worth tracking to see, if Georgia Southern makes a postseason tournament, maybe those 12 games become 16, 17, 18 games left. So we'll see what happens with Tukey Brown on the scoring record. He has 50 career 20 plus point games now and 100 games in double figures. To put that in perspective, 100 times Tukey Brown has scored in double figures, and he's played in 115 career games. So all but 15 times Tukey Brown has scored you at least 10 points, and that is really remarkable consistency. I don't know this, but I would be willing to wager a large sum that a lot of those 15 games that he didn't score 10-plus points came early on in his career. But, Georgia Southern, as far as leaning on Tukey Brown, is A-okay with that, because what you're doing is not just leaning on a guy that's dependent on making shots to impact the game. Tukey Brown can impact the game in a lot of ways. You guys that have seen him play, you know that already. But, 17 points a game, I think like 3 or 4 assists a game, 3 or 4 rebounds a game, and a couple of steals. He's a guy that's going to impact it no matter what, but has really been remarkably consistent. I did want to let you guys hear this from Coach Mark Byington, and I asked him This was a couple weeks ago. Now I asked him basically what he thinks Tukey Brown's legacy will be at Georgia Southern now that he's in the back half of his senior year, and kind of where Byington thinks that, you know, his legacy will stand. And what you heard from Byington is what you've heard from Tukey Brown in the past. Really what Brown is concerned with right now is making an impact in March. And for that to happen, Georgia Southern obviously has got to be playing somewhere in late March or mid-March. So this is what Byington had to say about Tukey Brown's legacy moving forward for Georgia Southern.
I know he wants to go out the NCAA tournament. And, you know, his personal, you know, records and the different accomplishments he had is already going to make him one of the best to ever come through here. And he's elevated our program. He's elevated our team. He's done everything the right way. But, you know, I think he wants to know that his ultimate legacy, maybe the top line, is going to be whether we're in the postseason or not. And so, he's got some good guys around him and some good players around him. But I think he wants to shoulder that burden. I mean, he's never going to hide from any kind of challenge.
So you hear it right there. The only thing that Byington thinks Brown cares about is playing in March and winning basketball games, and he hopes that is the legacy that he leaves and not so much the individual things. We've heard that before, but
regardless of what happens in March, where do you kind of see Tukey Brown in terms of the legacy of Georgia Southern basketball?
Yeah, I mean, I see him, you know, obviously I wasn't around for the 1953-1954 season when...
Just missed it.
Yeah, when scoring records were set for Georgia Southern. I think that when you look at Tukey Brown's impact on the program, we may not know it for a while, but what I could see happening is that the momentum from these last four seasons, which coincidentally have been Brown's seasons in Statesboro, the impact of these seasons turning Georgia Southern into more than just a forgettable basketball program and a perennial 20-win team, it's been because of Tukey Brown. And when he decided, after decommitting from Mississippi State 4 years ago, when he decided to come to Georgia Southern to play basketball, it really changed the trajectory of Georgia Southern basketball. And that's, I don't think that's a stretch to say that. So for me, there is nobody in Georgia Southern basketball history who has had a bigger impact than Tukey Brown. But, you know, I think as far as the most talented players, he's certainly going to be right up there and should be paid a handsome sum to eventually play basketball somewhere.
I was about to say, make sure you clarify that comment.
Right, yeah. We don't want them, how dare they think about making a monetary gain off of work.
That's true. No, that's absurd. I mean, any just off the wall, any NBA prospects for Tukey? Maybe hang around in the G League or something?
Well, I mean, I think, yeah, he's definitely going to be able to play professionally. I think a lot of it has to do with what guys want to be, because you'll probably be given a choice of making X number of dollars in the G League and staying in America and being close-ish to the NBA, or you could probably be paid more to go play in Europe or to go play somewhere else, and yeah, you would be a marquee name. You'd get to probably see parts of the world that you wouldn't typically get to see if you're playing in the G League, where you're playing in places like Maine and Idaho, yeah, I believe, has a team. So,
and honestly, it's probably a better place to kind of build stock, as people like Brandon Jennings and Emmanuel Mudiay have shown.
Yeah, and I don't really know, but I don't think there's a lot of personal branding going on in the G League. So you could probably do a little better for yourself personally, even off the court, playing in Europe or playing professionally somewhere else.
Definitely.
I think those are going to be questions for sure, to answer your question. Those are going to be questions that Brown will have to answer, and he will probably have options. So let's get to one more thing from Mark Byington, and then quickly touch on Texas Arlington and Texas State, and then jump to football. So I think to close out the Georgia Southern kind of summary so far this season, they need a little bit more from anywhere else, and they will become really what I think is an elite group of five team if the defense plays just a little better, if they can just get to average from where they're at right now, which is below average, or if they can just shoot a little better from three, if they can move their free throw percentage a little bit higher. then they can be great, because we've touched on it over and over. The margin is very, very narrow in a lot of these losses. And you could say the same about the wins, but certainly in the losses, the margin is narrow. So if they just do a little bit more, I think this team can go from being good to being great. Here's Mark Byington on the benefit of playing so many close games heading into the back half of conference play.
Well, one of the things we did this week is we looked at all the mistakes that we made, or mental mistakes or physical mistakes that we made leading up to the last minute of the game. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, you're making so many errors, you know, in the first half or early in the second half, that, you know, you could be up by 8 with a minute to go rather than down 1 or up 1. So right now we're correcting a lot of things that kind of just happen throughout the game. But the more you are in a possession game towards the end, the more comfortable your guys get, the greater understanding they know of, you know, who's going to take the shot, the role, the different things like that. And that definitely helps you in tournament time, because all of them are close.
So you heard Mark Byington there saying there is a great benefit to playing these close basketball games, because they're all close down the stretch, and you had better be ready when they do come knocking on your door. Let's jump quickly to a preview of UTA and Texas State this week. UTA comes in to Hanner on Thursday night. It's student appreciation night, so make sure you check out what all that involves. UTA is 8-11. They're 4-2 in the conference, having won 4 straight games. That's the best in the Sun Belt right now, tied for the best with Georgia Southern, or with Texas State, who plays Georgia Southern on Saturday. So when the Mavericks come to Statesboro on Thursday night, they will be coming having lost to Georgia Southern earlier in the season, 77-64, on January 5th in Arlington. So 9 meetings since 1972 in this series. No team has won back-to-back games, so Georgia Southern will be looking to do that. And like we touched on earlier, if you're looking for kind of what Texas Arlington will offer strategy-wise or scheme-wise, they will be a slower-paced team at 67 possessions per game. That's 221 in the country. They'll play solid defense and rely really heavily on junior guard Edric Dennis, who's averaging 15.5 per game right now, but he's red hot coming into Statesboro. Really, what Dennis offers is kind of what Brown offers for Georgia Southern, a guy that's pretty much guaranteed to get you at least 15, but certainly a guy that's capable at any time of going off for 25 to 35. So definitely someone to look out for him. UTA Sun Belt ranks, they're number 12 in scoring. That's dead last, 66 a game. They are number 3 in defense, averaging right around 69 points given up a game. Nice. Number 12 in field goal percentage at 39%. So obviously two contrasting teams here. UTA, one of the best defensive teams in the conference, and the worst offensive team in the conference. Georgia Southern, you can flip those around and find the same thing. So Texas State on Saturday will come in also having won 4 in a row, 16-3, 5-1, tied with Georgia State atop the Sun Belt Conference. They beat Georgia Southern in the conference opener on January 3rd in San Marcos, and they'll play a slow pace as well at 67 possessions a game. And Texas State is a really, really good basketball team, for those that don't know. So Saturday at 5 p.m. at Hanner Fieldhouse, if you want to see quality basketball, that's a really good opportunity. They're number 1 in the league in a lot of categories, including scoring margin, where they're 14 points a game better than their opponent. They're number 1 in field goal percentage defense, and they're number 1 in assists. So field goal percentage defense, Texas State's number 1. Field goal percentage on offense, Georgia Southern is at an all-time pace right now. So something I'll have to give on that. And like we said earlier in the year, the opening Sun Belt game, Texas State knocked off Georgia Southern by 3 points. Again, another loss by a possession or a possession and a half. So Georgia Southern will have the opportunity to get some revenge on Texas State. And then just to let you guys know, after that, on February 2nd, Georgia Southern will head to Georgia State for the first time this year and take on the Panthers. And you guys don't need me to tell you how big that game is, and how much Georgia Southern and Georgia State want to win that game. A lot riding on that one for sure.
Our sponsor today is Nutrition with B-Ray, a local meal prep delivery service. Nutrition with B-Ray makes healthy eating easy by preparing meals with locally sourced ingredients and delivering them right to your doorstep. Nutrition with B-Ray's meals simplify portion control and are labeled with caloric and macronutrient counts. Learn more or try Nutrition with B-Ray today by visiting nutritionwithbray.com, sending an email to fitnesswithbray@gmail.com, or by calling 828-539-1842. Mention the promo code COMMUTE, that's COMMUTE, for 10% off your order. That's Nutrition with B-Ray.
Nothing else from basketball for me, so let's jump right into football. A lot of news has been coming out kind of slowly, but a lot of it is going to be important for the offseason and the preseason moving into 2019. The 2019 season prep has officially begun, and spring practices, of which there will be 15, they'll begin February 13th in Statesboro. All but one, I think, of the practices will be at Paulson Stadium. So that's kind of a change, but the spring game on March 9th at 11 a.m. Will conclude spring practices. That's the 15th and final practice. You'll have scrimmages on the Saturdays of spring practice. So that's February 23rd, March 2nd, and March 9th. So all of these practices are open to the public. You can find all that information on gseagles.com or check out our story on savannahnow.com.
I was about to say, or the Savannah Morning News.
Right, yeah, or the Savannah Morning News website at savannahnow.com.
Be a company man.
I am a company man. Man. So we had a transfer this week also, which I think is vital. I mean, not vital, but I think is relevant in terms of where Georgia Southern was lacking. They addressed a little bit of it at least. Donald Rutledge, a secondary player from Savannah State, will be a grad transfer and on the Georgia Southern roster. In 2019, I got to see a fair amount of Rutledge over the last year, and he's a quality player on the back end. I think that, you know, I was trying to think of someone I could compare him to body-wise and kind of just the way he plays, someone that you guys would be more familiar with, and I really couldn't as far as last year's Georgia Southern team because he's kind of a unique player. You can certainly find some of his highlights and videos online. Look for yourself and you'll see what I mean. Kind of a unique looking secondary player, but the way he plays is really hard-nosed, and he will fit right in to the way that Georgia Southern likes to play, and especially the way that defensive coordinator Scott Sloan likes to let the defensive guys kind of run free and make their own plays. Last year at Savannah State, 53 tackles for Rutledge, team high, 7 pass breakups, 2 interceptions, a forced fumble, and a fumble recovery. So definitely makes a lot of plays, and like I said, he'll be a fifth-year grad transfer, so he will be eligible immediately, and at the very least, now you have guys in the secondary that include Kendall Vildor, a senior, Maquavian Brinson, senior, and you have Donald Rutledge now, a grad transfer senior. So I think it's pretty clear that the secondary will be very veteran. We thought that, but again, just like last season, it could be where the top line is extremely, extremely veteran, and right behind them are some young guys. So that's a position to kind of monitor moving forward, and that kind of leads me into what I wanted to talk about next, and that's three positions I think that we should watch heading into the spring practices and the spring scrimmage, the blue-white game on March 9th. So I'll give you a few names at each spot and, you know, just kind of names to keep an eye on and spots to keep an eye on. Certainly some of these positions could be addressed on February 6th on the National Signing Day. But I'll start, you know, at Georgia Southern, you can't really go anywhere else until you've addressed the running back position. And when you're losing Wes Fields and Monteo Garrett, it's fair to wonder who's going to take over that role. I mean, that's a lot of just usage that you're losing. So look at the number of carries those two guys got. Look at the number of yards, touchdowns. And you'll see there's a lot that Georgia Southern has to make up there. So I think they are definitely more than capable of doing that with the guys on the roster. But it could be that the guys coming in this year make an impact. But I think already on the roster, there were guys that could do that. First, we have to wonder if Wes Kennedy is going to stay at running back. Because if he does stay at running back, you'd have to pretty much guarantee that he's going to be one of the top two guys. That's pretty obvious, I feel like. But if he doesn't stay at running back, he moves to slot, you know, presumably. And if he does stay at running back, then the slot position becomes a position that you want to look at. So let's assume that Wes Kennedy doesn't stay at running back. It would probably be Logan Wright and Matt LaRoche. And even if Kennedy does stay, it will probably be Logan Wright and Matt LaRoche that do a bulk of the carrying. But, you know, two guys you should know that can impact this position moving forward for sure are Grant Walker and Andrew Cunningham. Walker played a lot last year on special teams and played a little bit in the backfield. Cunningham did not because of an injury late in high school. Cunningham was a really highly touted guy. A lot of you probably have heard that name. Grant Walker, also pretty highly touted out of the Atlanta area. So those are two names to look at for slotting in behind Logan Wright and Matt LaRoche at the running back spot. Second for me is, and again, this is not the most important positions, the three most important positions, but these are three positions that I think are definitely up for grabs. First was running back. Second, quarterback, I think, is a spot that Georgia Southern has to look at. And obviously, I'm talking about behind Shai Wirtz. You had Justin Tomlin, the freshman last year, who will presumably come into spring practice as the front runner for the backup quarterback job. But a name to watch is Jaden Jenkins. That's the early enrollee, the true freshman from Jefferson. And Jenkins is really highly touted, and he is a really perfect fit for this system that Georgia Southern is running. He really reminds me a lot of the way that Wirtz looks when you look at his senior year footage from Clinton, South Carolina. Jenkins strikes me as that kind of guy, and he certainly seems to be the kind of guy that won't be scared of the moment and won't be relegated to no playing time simply because he's young and a freshman. But, you know, obviously we'll have to see moving into spring practice how they handle that and how many reps the guys behind Wirtz will get. I'd imagine it would be a lot. So the backup quarterback position after LeBaron Anthony leaves from last year's team is certainly something that they need to look at. And Cato Brown, I guess. I don't want to forget about Cato. So the third position for me is safety. And we touched on it earlier with Donald Rutledge coming over. He seems to be a candidate at the very least to replace departing seniors Sean Freeman and Josh Moon. Someone's going to have to step up. If it's not Rutledge, it'll have to be Kendrick Duncan Jr. or two guys that I think potentially, Duncan already at safety, played last year in the absence of Freeman and looks to be a really, really quality player in the back end for Georgia Southern. But two guys that I think, and, you know, this is just me personally, that I like on the Georgia Southern defense, and I just like the way they play, and I think have the ability to play safety, are Jesse Liptrot and Jay Bowdry. I think these are two guys that are kind of the new age hybrid outside linebacker safety kind of guys, and they offer flexibility for Sloan and Lunsford in the back end. And if that is the route that Scott Sloan and the coaching staff want to take, it is, you know, certainly possible that Jesse Liptrot or Jay Bowdry could, you know, make an impact on the back end at safety. Those are three positions for me that you should look at and that I'm looking at heading into spring practice, but super exciting time of year. We'll wrap up quickly with two more things. I wanted to kind of give a shout out to the Coaches Continuity Fund, which is CCF, and they were really clutch when it came to Chad Lunsford's new contract extension, which I'm sure you guys have all heard about by now. You've read about it on SavannahNow.com, but really for me, I think that a lot of people don't realize that there is kind of a way that these things go in the university system of Georgia, and a lot of it is not what's as cut and dry as you might think. Whereas, like, let's say a pro coaching contract, you could get 4 years, $100 million, and some of it might be guaranteed, some of it might not be. In the university system of Georgia, all the employees will work on basically continuing one-year contracts. So if at any point in time Chad Lunsford were to be fired by Georgia Southern for valid reason, obviously, then he would not be owed the money that was from the back end of the contract or from the next years of the contract besides the current year from the school, they wouldn't be the ones paying them. It's an insurance policy, essentially, that the athletic foundation in this case has for the coaching staff. So, you know, an easier way, I guess, to say that is that a multi-year deal would be insured by the athletic foundation, not the athletic department. So it is a one-year recurring deal for everybody. And the way I understand it, that's not just athletic coaches. That's the university system of Georgia. So the fact that the CCF had the ability and really answered the call when the school and the athletic department needed it was really huge. And I think props to them and props to you guys and props to the donors for stepping up, because that, you know, whether we like it or not, if you don't spend the money, you aren't going to win on the football field. And that's just a fact. So being able to do things like this kind of propel Georgia Southern into where they want to be in the next 3, 5, 10. And even when you look big picture down, you know, down the line, Georgia Southern, if it wants to play with the big boys, and it certainly does at some point, will begin to start spending like the big boys at some point. So props to the CCF for stepping up when they were needed. Finally, we'll close out here. I just want to run through key dates. We just went through a lot of stuff quickly, so I wanted to just kind of get this out there and let you guys know what's coming up for Georgia Southern. February 6th, we said signing day, and that'll be our next podcast for Georgia Southern Extra as well. That's 2 Wednesdays from now. So that day is a day that Georgia Southern will not be signing a lot of guys, but it will be the official end of the 2019 class. So you'll be able to kind of see where Georgia Southern thinks it has holes based on where they send these 3 to 5 scholarships. I think definitely kicker is something that they're looking at, and maybe a couple of defensive ends. February 6th for that one is the podcast and signing day. February 16th, team awards banquet and gala for the 2018 team. I believe there are seats still available for that, and all of those funds go towards the CCF. So that's just another way that you can contribute to the program. March 1st, Sunbelt schedule release. So that's the day that we'll know when Georgia Southern is playing, who they're playing in the conference. We already really know a lot of the details as far as when you know, what games are at home, what games are on the road, and kind of what area the games will be in. But you'll get the specific dates on March 1st. March 9th, we touched on it, the blue-white game. So that's the spring game at 11 a.m. Busy day in Statesville that day on March 9th. You have the spring game at 11 a.m., baseball game at 2 p.m., and then the regular season basketball finale at 5 p.m. when Georgia State comes to Statesville. Finally, the Sun Belt Conference tournament will take place, basketball tournament, will take place March 12th through 17th in New Orleans. So that's a lengthy tournament, but if Georgia Southern comes in the top echelon of the league, they likely won't have to play until March 13th or March 14th, potentially get a triple bye in the Sun Belt Conference tournament. So there's just some dates to keep an eye on. And again, we'll be back with you guys on February 6th for signing day. We'll have all of the stuff you need to know about the 2019 class and about Georgia Southern spring football, which will begin, you know, a week after signing day. So quickly moving into 2019 and kind of putting 2018 behind them. So we'll kind of do the same here on Georgia Southern Extra. Appreciate you guys joining us. Make sure you rate, subscribe this podcast wherever you listen. Follow on Twitter at Jadon Sports and at Savannah Now. And then you can read all of the Georgia Southern coverage, including football, basketball, and then not too long it'll be baseball on SavannahNow.com/sports.
Before we wrap up, Travis, Super Bowl is in our backyard. Who do you got, Rams or Patriots?
Pats. Pats. I don't need to know the final. I don't need to know who they're playing. It's the Pats. It's like LeBron. I'm kind of sick of trying to find a way that someone's going to beat Tom Brady and the Patriots, because it's a fool's errand. I mean, they make it every year.
They do, and it's crazy to think that, I mean, it's not like anybody beat them last year or anything, so they're... Well, you lost a lot of listeners, though, with that very big Pats.
I don't like the Patriots. I'm a Dolphins fan, so I get plenty...
We'll have to dig into that at some point.
Yeah. You can just pencil us in for 7-9 to 8-8 every single year, so... Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you guys in a couple weeks.
Oh, he will. Adrian Peterson is taking care of things right now.
Down the sideline. If he can get loose, he's gone. Iligwe will score.
The Wesley Fields. Touchdown. Georgia Southern.